everyone. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar Hangout, Marathon Music Works. First day of the Marilyn Manson second leg of the tour here. Shannon is so kind, so hungry to do this. Not hungry to do this, he's hungry to eat. We're going to do this so fast. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no worries.
Shannon, thank you.
No problem at all.
Tell me about what Paul's using here. Looks like a Schecter.
Yep, this is one of his favorite ones. It's kind of like green, blue, kind of iridescent kind of Schecter Solo Custom 2, I believe. I'm not sure the pickup's in it. It's kind of like 59 burst buffer solo-ish. It stays in tune, plays well. It's one of his favorite guitars, so we usually start off with this one.
What strings do you use?
Ernie Ball. First? Only Ernie Ball.
Okay.
46 to 10, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And is there anything that he requests in setup-wise or anything that is particular?
Keep it in tune.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Pretty much. But this is the main one we usually start with because the E song is first, and this one's tuned in E.
Okay. And while you're getting the second one out, is there anything that you do to help keep guitars in tune?
Change strings every day.
Okay.
This one, another Solo Custom 2.
Ooh.
It's got a, they burnt it with gunpowder, I guess, or something like that. I saw a video of it. They were burning it, and they filled it with glitter and stuff. But this is the one he uses for all the drop D stuff.
All right.
Same thing, Solo Custom 2. Not sure the pickup in it. They got a custom pickup cover here. Probably the same style of pickup. Drop D tuning for this one.
Cool. And is there a certain type of, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the tunings of Manson stuff, is that certain era of the band, or is it kind of all over?
Well, I think it's all over pretty much. I mean, I think they have D, and every album's got like different tunings, I believe.
Cool.
We have, he's a big, huge Kiss fan.
I can tell.
So we got, it's all pawed up because I haven't changed the strings on it today. Same thing. Kind of like a Paul Stanley style telly.
Yeah.
Broken Mirror. Yep. He loves it.
Yeah. Is there anything, any special songs he bring out? Because this has like a visual aesthetic.
This one we use for Dope Show.
Ah.
And I think two songs, Dope Show and another song after that. It depends. You know, sometimes they'll keep it longer, sometimes so pass it off to change.
I'm guessing it's probably when it goes out of tune. That's
when
he beats
on it pretty hard. Manson usually comes over and punches on it too, so there's a few chips from his brass knuckle microphone.
A few more extra breaks.
Yeah, another Schecter custom.
Cool.
Solid guitar, stays in tune. We have another Tele as well, Schecter. It's got bigger pulled pickups.
I believe those are from, from the Schecter custom shop.
Exactly. Killer guitar, stays in tune, works well. Great, we use it for, this one's a, it's a whole step down.
All right.
So we use it for, what song do we use it on? We use it on Antichrist. No, that's not it. Sorry. Angel with Scab Wings.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So the whole thing's step down, one step down.
It looks relatively new too, unless this one's just...
No, I just try to keep it in good shape.
Great.
It's had a few tours on it, but I use it one song, so.
Cool.
It doesn't get used a whole heck of a lot. Got another one that was gifted from Jim Root from Slipknot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Another killer guitar, Fender, his model, the Jim Root model.
And any specific song, or is this kind of a backup?
This
right
one
now?
Is for Antichrist. We have it's B.
Oh.
B tuning, and then the rest normal. Just the.
Oh, the high end.
Just the E strings drop down to B.
Cool.
He's Schecter endorsed. So
yeah, clearly.
but it was a gift. So Jim, thanks. It's awesome. I love it.
Cool, man.
I think it sounds killer. It's got active pickups in it. I mean, it's his model. It's a ripper guitar. Proven ripper.
I love the lean and mean, just volume.
I do too. Yeah, and the matte black finish. I love it. It's one of my favorites he's got.
Cool. Yeah, and right here, got two amps. I'm imagining one's a backup.
Tis. Yeah, I go back and forth. It depends on. Sometimes I get really bad signal in the house, bad power or something, and one amp hums more than the other. So I kind of have to use back and forth. But today we're using the bottom one. These are JCM 900, 100 watt amps.
Do you know if there's anything modded to them? Or
nope, just standard stock, man.
Cool.
Stock, full blast on everything.
Yeah, that's what you were saying on stage with the pedals.
Well, the gain's all the way up. Great amps, man. I love Marshall. Marshall, my favorite personally. But and we have the speaker cabinets are the vintage 30 Celestions.
All right.
Getting a little tighter punch.
Again, the cabs look like they've been to hell and back.
We cycle through a lot of cabs, yeah. The top ones are the kickovers.
Oh, yeah, so they're empty? Are they empty or are they fully loaded?
I've emptied one of them. One I keep, full because it's the one I've been here 4 years and that's the one that's been here before me. So I keep the one that he likes. He punches it a lot and stuff like that.
Well, it's good to know which one he hits.
Yeah, just the two top. So I'm cycling through cabinets a lot. He'll kick them all over or poke them or, so.
It's part of the show, man.
He's got a pretty basic rig, you know, it's simple.
Rock and roll, dude.
It's punk rock.
Shannon, we're gonna go up on stage real quick.
Yeah.
Check out your pedal board. All right, Shannon, board, talk to me. Looks pretty bare bones, simple stuff. What's he using?
Cowboy from Hell.
Do you know why he likes that wah?
Sweet Dreams, you know, it's got the wah. I mean, I don't know why he likes the Cowboy from Hell. Yeah, maybe it's the Pantera.
Yeah, I mean, I love Pantera,
me too.
Nothing wrong with that.
Got a Wazacraft chromatic tuner.
Cool.
TU3W Wazacraft.
Yep.
Awesome. He uses a Chorus Ensemble, CE5.
Is that something he maybe uses just to really have a thicker sound, so some kind of subtle effect?
Yeah, he does. He doesn't use it all the time. He only uses it on specific songs.
Okay. I mean,
it depends where he wants to. I have a delay, digital delay. He uses probably like one or two songs, not really a whole hell of a lot.
Does he ever mess with the reverse? I know that sometimes in recordings.
No, he doesn't touch anything on it. It is what it is. Right?
Simple delay.
Yep. I mean, it's really about...
It's the show.
The show, yeah. I mean, this is just to fill in the voids. I got a little delay, a little pyramids pedal there. Data corruptor makes weird noises and blips and bleeps. And
you were saying that kind of comes in and out.
Yeah, he uses it like at the end, like of songs. It'll drag it out and make weird noises and stuff. And kind of there's a lot of ambient sounds that they do when he walks off to go change or something like that.
Yeah,
they kind of have to do some stuff. So he fills it in with some weird.
And then the noise suppressor, is that always on just to help with stage noise?
I do because I get a lot of his amp's pegged, so it's like full gain. Yeah, it's hot.
And what's the little box here with the light? And it looks like an explosion.
This is a JHS little buffer.
Okay.
It's awesome.
And what's the reason behind that for why you guys are using it currently?
It's awesome.
It helps. What kind of problems is it solving?
Just
a signal?
Yeah, it just keeps it tight.
Cool.
This was built by Mark Lebetsky. This board here, this beautiful board.
Beautiful.
Mark Lebetsky, he's our bass tech extraordinaire. Fantastic. He makes great pedal boards if you guys want one. Contact Mark Lebetsky.
Keep him in business.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Killer. Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, other side of the stage with Juan. Second time Rig Rundown. Juan, how you doing?
Number two.
Twice in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
We were trying to figure out, we think 2010?
2010, Mars Volta Soundgarden tour. And it was funny because I was so bummed because it's when we first started to pare down our pedal boards.
Yeah.
The one you covered, I had four of those, like a previous tour to that. And then we do the Rig Rundown. I'm like, this is like one quarter of what I usually tour with. And then we kept paring down because, you know, we were trapped, we're like flying with our own gear and shit after a while. But yeah, but it's all good. You know, this is the other way. We're back onto like racks. Like I haven't seen one of these boats in a long time and rack full of gear. You know what I mean?
You're the big different. Time now.
Here we go.
No, but if you guys aren't familiar, please check out Juan and Nick Reinhardt's Pedals and Effects.
Thank you.
Yes.
Pedalsandeffects.com for your pedal reviews.
Dude, he's got a great channel. We watched it at Premier Guitar, so you guys should too, after Premier Guitar. But Juan, gear,
cool.
Tell me about this bass.
Man, we've been working on this for a minute, but Warwick's Idolmaker bass, they have a different pickup configuration with the preamp and stuff. I'm not a preamp dude.
Yeah.
I'm a straight P-bass pickup type dude. So this is just Kerry Nordstrand's P pickups. And then kill switch on off volume, and then this is just and I've never done this, but what you don't understand before you make judgment on me is that the stage gets super fogged out, and when it gets super fogged out, that's the only way I can tell where we're at. And if you guys have ever seen Manson, it's like he fogs that stage out.
Yeah.
So this way I can just go, okay, I'm on the first note, right? And you know, we usually put otherwise we put tape and I have to feel the tape.
Yeah.
So anyway,
cool.
And then it's basically 34 inch. You know, they relic it somewhat, but like I think I've relic'd it more in the short time I've been playing it on stage here than they did. But
I'm no used to seeing you with Fender stuff and even the fretless basses, and I'm sure you have countless other basses you use. But what made you go with the Warwick for this gig?
I mean, it's just. You know, you want to flip it up. You want to change stuff. I mean, my Fenders weigh a ton, and they jack my backup, man.
Really?
Like, after the many years I've been playing,
you
can't be playing with an 11-pound bass, you know? So this is lighter. It's just, it's a lot easier to play in a lot of ways. Brass nut. It just resonates real. This is how loud that is. And we're not even plugged in. I mean, it's just super resonant, so it's, it makes things easier to do. So yeah, that's, and Hans, you know, they made me a Jonas Hellborg bass, fretless, so I have that at home. Yeah, they've been really good to me. So cool. I just, you know, been repping them. And, you know, I have another one. I have the Streamer Dude. This is the 32-inch, but we use the B string on it for a couple of, you know, C-tune and B-tune songs. But this thing is ferocious sounding. Same thing, I think these are Nordstrand pickups as well.
Now, is this like something you might use on like some of the gnarlier songs like that? Because there's some stuff that gets pretty fuzzed out.
Yeah, so super heavy, super detuned. This is the one, and it weighs a lot. For a little 32-inch dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the stuff, the rest of the stuff's just like, it's the backup stuff. So I have like, I built this like maybe like 10 months ago. I bought a body on eBay, got a neck from Fender, and built it myself, string through. That's what, it's a 70s body. But it was some dude string through it, so I was like, cool, I wanted a string through, so that's why I bought it.
It's perfect.
And I'm still doing that. And then this is the OG Raider bass that I've had since the early 90s that Alex Perez at Fender Custom Shop made me. If you see that line down the middle, and can anybody who follows me on Instagram saw that I broke it in half. So Mark is one of the most amazing dudes. He's glued this twice, right? Mark's glued it twice on tour. So. Also, we stripped out this because, like, you know, I'm throwing it and stuff. Yeah. So we had to put in the extra strength to do that. And, you know, I use Hipshot detuners on every bass. This one's going to get one. We just haven't had time to put one on. But I definitely use Hipshot tuners and detuners and stuff. And, yeah. And it's always just the same thing, volume and kill switch, you know.
And is a kill switch because you need to, like, make, you know, dude, it's sudden just, stops?
You are you kind of, so like... loud. That you just got it, like, you just got to cut
stop
stuff
it. Yeah.
And back on, cut it, you know what I mean? And then, you know, in between songs, I don't want any feedback or anything. Yeah. So I'm just like, all right, here we go, boom, boom. You know what I mean? It's, I don't want to do this, just in case you don't roll up all the way or something. It's just way easier with this, so, yeah.
Strings, Juan, you got to tell me about those. What you got?
Oh, yeah, the Ernie Ball's 105 45.
Cool.
And so I've always used Ernie Ball. I mean, Racer X days, you know. Yeah, so they're awesome. And
any special pick you're using that you?
Oh, I definitely use Dunlops.
Is there a special gauge or like?
I use these really thick ones, 2.0s.
Damn. It's a cardboard.
You know, they got my tag on it, and then Mance's tag.
Cool.
And then I also use the black ones as well, but I think are the orange ones actually or something. Man, I don't know. Actually, we got 73. So.
And is there a difference, why you preferred?
Yeah, man, because you fatigue. So, like, you fatigue it. Like, this is easier for certain songs, but then after a while, you fatigue, you go thicker, and you actually use less muscle strength the thicker the pick. So then you, when you fatigue, you just flip to a heavy one. So I'm constantly flipping. Tone-wise, it's different.
Yeah.
Punk songs, this. Anything I want fatter sounding, like Dope Show or something, I use the thinner pick. So,
it's the thing people forget about is, like, how much pick can play into it.
Oh, man, it's all, it sounds... is endless, like what you, your cables, everything, like everything that hits the front end is gonna affect your sound for sure, for sure.
Killer, I mean, you breeze through the basses, I think that takes care of it.
What about your amp here? The amps, of course, Ampegs, Dino at Ampeg convinced me to use the SVT4 Pro. Those things rule.
So tell me how you got kind of working with Dino and how he convinced you to get away from those other ones.
I've known Dino forever, I've been with Ampeg forever. I don't know, I just like, I, you know, what happened was I was on a gig that Tim LaFay recommended me for, and then they called me. So 2 days later, I went from playing like, you know, really small venues and all of a sudden to this. And so I needed big gear quickly.
Yeah.
So he said, just go with this. Trust me, I did. It's what they use. So they are comfortable. I'm comfortable. So yeah, and they're so loud, man, they're loud. So I've never been this loud, ever.
I saw you, or I heard, I saw you on stage, but I also heard and felt you, man. That thing is thumping.
I've never played this loud. It's insane how loud we are. I mean, it's gnarly. So, yeah, and so they, you know, they just sound great. What we do to push it, Mark, you wouldn't mind coming in here and explaining this, would you?
Come on, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
Mark Scheib,
Mark
Grubetsky,
this is tech wonder. I mean, he saves me in all this. Can you explain what
Yeah, explain what's going on here, Mark.
So... what we do is we run it old school, like Juan likes, pedals in the front of the amp. And pretty much he's got some, you know, noisemaker synthesizers, stuff that he needs to have full control over out there. And this is our Mac Daddy tone right here. This thing, it's not just an EQ. You have two stages of overdrive, and it's like that classic Mesa sound. This is actually a guitar pedal. And Mesa were the people that told us, use it for a bass. Like, let's try it for a bass, you guys being the first people. And man, let me tell you, I've never heard a bass overdrive like this.
Yeah, not me neither.
One that had the frequencies tuned for a bass. This is for a guitar. You know, it's not a full range pedal as far as I'm concerned. But we give it kind of like a little bit of a pointy EQ since we can reproduce the low end at the amplifier.
Yep.
So this is always on, and he's got one main channel, which he kind of controls the gain into it with his volume off the actual bass. Because if he needs more of a cleaner sound, he'll dial it down there. And then I have like the, I don't know, you want to call it like the apocalypse switch.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
I push this thing and this whole room will start shaking down.
When does the apocalypse switch get hit?
Anytime he's using this, the Warwick bass here, the one that's down tuned to a D or a C. And then also on anything that is, if we have a double kick pedal going on the drums, he's keeping up with that. Because we have such a loud low end on our kick, we need something to cut through since he's part of the rhythm section, which is that.
What about a song, I'm sorry to interrupt, it was a song like Kill For Me. It's not overdriven, but it's so loud and punchy.
It is loud, and it's bass driven. And so on that one specifically, I do one thing and I just turn off the boost.
Okay.
Because he doesn't need to cut through as much there. And the boost on here is so good, man. It sounds so good. To where if I turn it off and I, you know, if we're sound checking and I leave it off to see how that's going to sound, Juan immediately is like, hey, where's that volume go? You know, like you can hear it. It's so prevalent in the sound of that pedal.
Well, that's the thing about with you and, you know, obviously what you're constructing the tones is that, especially the later albums have such bass-driven songs, whether it's the electronic stuff or just like a more sparse guitar arsenal in terms of music.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, sure, it's fun for you to play and I'm sure it's fun for you to dial up that stuff.
It is. And you know, we have to adjust it every day. Voltage changes. The amp is sounding different. We kind of have to dial it to the amp a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like that because it gives me more of a way to make him happy with the way he's sounding. Like, a good day for me is him to walk in and just be like, hey, it's awesome. Even though, like, I've drastically changed stuff. That's how versatile that pedal for us is.
Yeah.
And it's always on. We don't turn it off unless it's going in the truck.
Yeah. You know? And would you say that's the kind of main recipe, that with the Ampeg? And everything else everything?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And he has all his noisemakers out there and the stuff he needs to control via foot.
And then these are just here and you're controlling these?
Yeah, so we use, we have Juan settings on these. And the delay, another great delay.
Yeah.
When you showed me this, it's like when I showed you the Mesa. Yeah. You know, it was like, whoa, you have one too.
This is a wormhole, this pedal, just in terms of what you can do with it and the app.
And we use it for like sound effect. And we do have a couple songs that have delay. We're not using that for this tour.
Mm.
So now it becomes kind of like my instrument, which is awesome because Juan gives me a lot of room to kind of take his bass to the next level on outros and like at the end of the set.
Yeah, and end of the set we go nuts.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And he's hitting every pedal, I'm hitting every pedal, but it sounds good. It's not just a mess of sound. It's not like he's turning into a noise artist. It actually, everything's tuned together. You know,
cool.
Everything sounds really good.
Yeah.
And we, the MXR, they've been really good to you. I know, like, they're
the bass Chorus Deluxe. He'll blast that at me some parts, and I'll just be like, yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
Do you ever kick on stuff when it maybe not supposed to not go on, but, like, you know, just to throw a surprise at him, Easter egg?
I've been around 10 years with the band, and, like, Juan's like, hey, give me some spice here and there where you think it needs it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, about now, you know?
Yeah.
There's sometimes, like, at the end of the tour where I'll peg you with the overdrive, and you're like, whoa, what was that? You know? And
that's always fun.
That's fun.
It makes it exciting.
When
you're so aware, you
get it. You understand, I can do that with you, when I can't do that with some other players. They're like, oh, my gosh, my sound changed. Juan rolls with it, because he's such a good player.
Yeah,
I love it. So, yeah, and this thing, man, really, we had another chorus, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
Mark's like, get that MXR, and I'm like, I'll just hit them up. And, you know, Shiraki sent me that, and it's killer. Yeah. It sounds thick, rich, awesome.
And
great bass chord.
Is the noise suppressor kind of there just in case, or is it all the time?
That's there to catch him on his feedback, because there are instances where Juan needs to be right in front of the amplifier, like when we're doing Antichrist Superstar, and he actually has like a cue on stage to move here or move there.
Okay.
And currently he's in front of the amp, and using that as an example, I'll turn it on at that point, and that will catch any of the super overdrive from that Mesa, you know, and it gives him a little bit more freedom when he's out there on that kill switch. It kind of cuts off any of the tails on anything too, you know,
okay.
Like if there were going to be like a feedback issue or something when he closes it off, because we're so loud.
Yeah.
And we approach like we're pushing the envelope on how loud you can make a bass. We really are.
And I mean, we
have to find solutions for problems that don't exist.
Right,
like
right.
A squeal that like, oh, well, you, other people would turn it down to 8.
Yeah.
You know, we're not turning
we
it down.
We can't do that.
We got to find another
way. We'll figure out how to choke it out of there.
That's got to be fun as a musician, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can turn that off and we have no noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So. It's not to like cover up anything. It's just
for those instances.
Yeah, just a safety for everybody, really.
Mark, thank you so much for talking to us. Yep. It's fucking gave us the tonal recipe to everything here. Appreciate it. Juan's gonna go on stage real quick to show us the rest of the pedals.
Yeah. All right, hey man. So, all right, you gotta have a tuner. I rarely tune on
stage.
On stage because Mark's always got me dialed in, but I have one just in case. That goes into Earthquaker Devices Big Commander. I use that when I need heavier stuff. And I didn't want to use a fuzz. I wanted to use something that had more low end, and this has like the sub knob. So
would that be like Beautiful People, or
it just depends, man. Okay. It depends. And we do segues, so you'll like in the show you'll hear us doing different things, and I use that a lot because it's super fuzz and synthetic, and I've always loved it. And then I love any gain pedal. I love putting the Grand Orbiter from Earthquaker Devices. That phaser, super, like, I don't know, like, just the LFO in it is just so, again, synthetic, and it just tweaks it hard. So I love that. All right, the Hummingbird, of course, with fuzz, you got to have that choppy. And I've been doing that forever.
That's
since Mars
chop.
Volta. It's the hardest sawtooth chop. So anytime if I'm just going,
and got that dial, too.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, it's the best tremolo out there. And then for just, again, like when we do segues and stuff, I got the Maris Enzo, which is their newest pedal. It's the most amazing synth pedal that I've come across. And I've been using it so much. I've been recording a ton the last couple of weeks.
There's a lot of synth on the records, but you guys don't have a keyboard.
No,
there.
And so I'll rock that some stuff. But I also, like on a bunch of stuff I'm working on, like that pedal is essential. It's just so dynamic. You can make it, you know, poly, mono, just get those, you know, you can do arpeggiation. The filter sweeps on it are synth level, like high-end synth level. It's just amazing. And then the Tensor is just for me to do, like, you know, stutter stuff for, you know, like just for noise stuff. So if I want to just go, you know, and then I also do a super sweep where I hit it and it'll grab the note and it'll go chug, 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 chug. Like if you're
kind of gradual,
kind of like tapes, like locking this tapes down. You can go either way with it. You can go reverse, you can go forward, and you can go fast, you can go slow. It's like you're controlling time through that pedal.
And that's a Red Panda.
Yeah,
right?
Red Panda's Tensor pedal. So yeah, the Maris and the Red Panda Tensor are like the new additions. But man, dude, it makes my life exciting up here, for real. For real, it does. You know, like I look at this pedal board, I'm like, this shit is hard.
Dude, yeah. Vaughn, if it seems like we've been talking like in super speed, it's because it's first day of the tour, they had rehearsals, and other bands are trying to get on, Tex are trying to eat, Juan's probably got to eat. So bear with us on this. We got the gear. We got you guys. One thing I'm going to leave you with. Yeah. I talked to Nick. Nick's going to do a rig rundown with us next month.
Yeah,
he said you need to get a Gibson grabber. I don't know what that means, but it just means.
He sent me a text this morning. And you need to get this.
You need to get a Gibson grabber.
For those of you who don't know Nick, he does pedals and effects with me.
He's in Terra Mellows.
Terra Mellows. He's played on the Death Grip records. He's like one of my closest friends, and he's a badass. And so watch Nick's. Because he's good. I told him, I go, yours is going to get a billion more hits than mine. So.
But yeah, Gibson grabber.
Yeah. All right, then.
Premier Guitar Rig Rundown.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.